Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Hey, welcome into Stone Cold Stros. I'm Brandon Strange alongside Charlie Polillo. Follow him on X at Polillo. Josh is going to be back with us later this week. On today's episode, the Astros finally find themselves on the good side of the broom as they leave Wrigley with the sweep. But the mood isn't quite celebratory as all eyes are on the spasming back of Houston's bomb-blasting lefty. I'll get Charlie's reaction to that as well as get us ready for the four-game set in Arlington. Charlie, welcome in. Look, I know in the broad scheme of things, a series in May might not mean much, but Houston has been in desperate need of stacking some wins. Going into Chicago and taking three from a struggling Cubs team likely won't turn the season, but for a team that has been struggling with pitching most of the season and is currently struggling with offense and then had to pull their big man from Saturday's game because of back spasms, this was a good set of games for the Astros, now having won 7 of their last 11. Charlie, it always helps when the other team is struggling, but that shouldn't diminish what Houston was able to do in this series with a shorthanded roster against a pretty good Cubs team. We'll get to Yordan in a second, but first, what did you see from this series from Houston?
Hey, kick them while they're down. I mean, plenty of teams have taken their kicks at the Astros this season, so that the Astros caught the Cubs at a very ripe time to inflict some damage, that's how the cookie crumbles. Right? The Cubs had lost 5 in a row, 9 out of 11, so that the Astros pour salt in their wounds. The Astros have felt plenty of sting, so no sympathy, no apology necessary. They scored more than 4 runs on Sunday. Hallelujah! Snapping the streak of 14 consecutive games of 4 or fewer runs. Still won Friday and Saturday with mediocre offense, save Christian Walker carrying them to victory on Saturday. So I think as pretty much all we geniuses figured, all they needed to do was get Yordan out of the lineup and Nick Allen in. Presto! Stuff happens. Sports are funny. Baseball is funny. Life is funny. Yordan's one of the great offensive players in the game. Nick Allen's one of the worst offensive players in the game. So as you mentioned, we'll talk a little bigger picture on Yordan, but he's forced from the game Saturday. Obviously not Nick Allen in directly for Yordan to give Paredes a day at DH since, hey, the spot was opened up. And Nick Allen pops a home run, gets hit by a pitch, slaps a couple of singles, has a perfect day. Nick freaking Allen. Over 162 games, stuff happens. He-Man Jake Myers in that 5 spot pops his first home run of the season. And Christian Walker, who into Chicago was in a coma, batting 106, 5 for his last 47. Well, Saturday, the 2 blasts, and then Sunday, an absolute bomb. But the biggest hit of Sunday's game, for my money for the Astros, was Jeremy Pena, who was scuffling badly before he was hurt. He's been scuffling badly since his return, and he hits a little 2-out bloop to score 2 runs, give the Astros the 4-3 lead, and then Christian Walker blows it open with the 3-run homer later in the inning. So if that's something to jumpstart Jeremy Pena, because at the top of the lineup, Bryce Matthews remains overmatched, his OPS now in the 500s. So is Jeremy Pena's in obviously limited playing time this point in the season. But if the 1-2 spots in the lineup are going to be millstones and you still sweep a series on the road, take it and run with it. And while Dana Brown doesn't jump to the fore, Brandon, in the executive of the year conversation, while he has been understandably pilloried over the state of the club and certain specific decisions, it was his hunch play on Kaiwei Tang, who's been outstanding, most recently again Saturday. Pete Lampert was an organizational scrap heap guy. I'm not giving major kudos on that one. Sunday, one of his lesser performances, but he avoided the big inning while the offense was coming around. So the pitching the last 10 days or so has been excellent if the offense can collectively awake. And again, geography, right? Real estate, location, location, location. Not only the Astros sweeping the Cubs, but you have the Rangers lose a series to the Angels. The Mariners lose a series to the Royals. The Athletics lose a series to the Padres. So the Astros make up at least two games on everyone else that matters in the division. Only two back of Seattle going into the week, within four of the A's going into the week, four and a half of the A's going into the week. And location, location, location. If the Astros were in the East, they'd be 13 and a half games behind the Tampa Bay Rays, 13 behind the Rays. They'd be 8.5 behind the Guardians if they were in the Central. If they were in any NL division, they'd need a telescope to see first place. Well, they're in the American League West. So yeah, I'm saying there's a chance.
Yeah, we talk about that purgatory that Houston's in within the AL West. Given the team and the struggles that they've had, there's no real push for change because you're right there. And to that point, they decreased the deficit in the division over the weekend. They could be right in this thing. We'll get to that in a little bit. But I just wanted to give a shout out to the pitching, who has been much maligned, much embattled for the majority of the season. Not that they did anything special over the weekend, but you know, Arrigetti goes 5 shutty, lowers his ERA to 1.32. Kaiwei Tang goes 6 shutty himself. Although, you know, shout out to Dana Brown, but also Dana didn't do himself any favors by saying that Kaiwei was kind of flagged to him by one of their internal scouts. Lambert battled his stuff mostly on Sunday, but I think the bright spot about Lambert is, although he did battle, he was able to get out of that inning and he was able to go 5 innings for them. Did give up 4 walks, 7 walks for the game for the entire staff. So that's not great. But like I said, I think limiting the damage was big there. Look, I'm grasping for straws at trying to find the bright spots for Brian Abreu, but only given up 2 hits in his last 6 appearances. So we'll take little bits of improvement here and there. Nate Pearson, also been a welcome addition to this team, this pitching staff. I want to get into the Yordan stuff. Before I do, give us a word from Fidelity One Mortgage, please.
Fidelity One Mortgage, a Houston company, entirely Houston-based, not a subsidiary. Greg Sheena is your guy to call, co-owner of Fidelity One Mortgage for 36 years, originating loans throughout Texas, both homesteads and investment properties. Last week of May is here, so the last week of their Rate Buster special. For purchase transactions, you get a full 1% off market interest rate for your full first year. So if the rate's 6.5, you only pay 5.5 the first year, 6.25, 5.25, and so on. That expires when this month expires. Easy way to save thousands. Improve chances of an accepted offer by securing pre-approval. And with Fidelity One Mortgage providing pre-approval, you're still free to rate shop, though you will find that their rates are just fine for the marketplace. They'll help you qualify, apply, and be approved. Whether buying, refinancing, or tapping into your home equity, Fidelity One Mortgage, proven excellence. Call Greg, mention you heard it from me or here on Stone Cold Stroh's, and get up to a $600 credit at closing for the appraisal. Call Greg, Fidelity One Mortgage, 713-952-9276, 952-9276, NMLS 311100.
So we seemingly can't have a series without an Astros injury. Yordan gets pulled mid at bat during Saturday's game for what's being called back spasms. He was out of Sunday's lineup, although they attributed that to a scheduled day off. So we'll see. The offense is already on life support. Even in this sweep, it was a fluky 8-run game on Sunday that was kind of an anomaly and has been an anomaly for this past stretch of games for Houston. They can't afford to lose the big man. What's your concern level for Yordan?
Well, given last season, there's concern. Big guy, big parts, big muscles, a lot of stuff to strain, tweak. Back spasms, if it's no more than that, right? Astros reporting track record. Let's hope there's not a stress fracture in that back or something that we hear about. Hey, he played in every game, obviously, the extreme percentage of those at the designated hitter slot. But he played every game this season until being pulled Saturday. So to give him a day off going into the Rangers series, that's okay. But of course, the antenna are up when you hear, wait, Yordan, physical malady. But I do want to mention, two seasons ago, he played 144 games. So it's not as if every year he's been missing a month or two or four of the schedule. But as you know, Brandon, he's beyond critical. Christian Walker, let's give props to him. You know, there's going to be some ebb and flow. So while he had stunk it up for nearly 50 at-bats, big weekend, the Astros go into Arlington at the exact one-third mark of the schedule. At 23 wins, 31 losses. Well, that's a 69 and 93 pace. So no repeating the first third if they want to be anywhere close to the lead, even in a crapola division. But Christian Walker on pace, I'll bet the under on both, but he's on pace for 42 homers, 111 runs batted in. And off what he did overall last year, his batting average is at 265. The Triple Crown stats, any Astros fan saying, nah, I would have wanted more than that, is either stupid or lying, right? 265, 42, and 111 out of Christian Walker, also playing an excellent defensive first base. So he's probably the Astros MVP to this point in the season, especially relative to Yordan. He's the healthy guy going into the Rangers matchup.
We talked about how this team has been embattled. They're shorthanded. And obviously, a lot's going to ride on Yordan Alvarez and what the status of him is going forward. However, you've got Josh Hader, ETA first week in June. Hunter Brown's ETA being mid-June sometime. This is per Dana Brown. Then you take a step back and look at the schedule here. You've got Rangers, a good Brewers team, Pirates, then A's, Angels, then Royals, and then Tigers. So on paper, they're going to face some subprime teams. If you get these guys back, is it realistic to think this portion of the schedule is when Houston could really make some hay and actually find themselves catapulted up in the competition for the division?
I don't think it's a wholly unreasonable goal to target 500 before the All-Star break. The odds are probably somewhat against that, but it doesn't make them 1,000 to 1 shot. Hunter Brown's absolutely the most essential returnee. If Arrighetti has sustainability as a front of the rotation guy, if you compare a legit 1-2 with Brown and Arrighetti, obviously that helps to compensate for, a puny offense way too often. Pena is essential because he's going to continue to hit in the top of the lineup. What Altuve is at when he gets back, the decline is real at 36 years of age, but can he get to an acceptable middle level of a 750 OPS guy as opposed to the barely 700 he was when he strained his oblique? And then there's the incremental improvement. Zach Cole pops the occasional long ball, but does nothing else. Hence, his OPS is 571. Whiff machine, no batting average. I'm not a card-carrying member of the Joey Loperfido fan club, but Joey Loperfido should be a little bit better, at least, than Zach Cole. If Yiner would stop being such a chronic underachiever, I'd say when he gets back, he should still be a little bit of an improvement, at least, over Christian Vasquez, who has flattened out since his hot start. So if you get a little bit better here, a little bit better there, Christian Walker generally maintains where he's at. Knock on wood, Yordan, once he's back, stays healthy for most of the rest of the way. And you have Hunter Brown at the top of your rotation and you add Josh Hader to the back of your bullpen. In this division, yeah, you should at least be competitive and in the mix. And remember, the league overall, I mean, other than the Yankees, second place in the American League East, there's not a non-division leader measurably over 500. So this could be a year that maybe 83 wins can snag a wild card, if not ultimately the American League West.
I understand what you're saying about Christian Vasquez, but Yiner Diaz, his first rehab is going to start the first week of June. Christian Vasquez has more hits, runs, RBI, better batting average, slug, on base. I'm not saying Christian Vasquez would be the difference, but I don't know. I think if Joe Espada is serious about winning, he really has to think about how judiciously he's going to use Yiner, because I get it. Yiner has the higher upside, and we know who Christian Vasquez is as a player. However, there are off and on seasons for players. Why not ride the hotter hand in Christian Vasquez?
Definitely, except that Christian Vasquez hasn't been the hotter hand once you remove his first week 10 days where his OPS was over 1,000. He's down now to about 720, so you lop off that first week, and he's in the low 600s. But he's the better receiver. He is better at slowing the opposition running game. So Yiner's going to get opportunity, but he has to produce because you have an alternative. The other thing is Vasquez, who's, well, stout in his build, in his mid-30s, the workload will wear him down, and I just don't think Cesar Salazar is good enough to really be your number two catcher in the playing time that comes with that. So Yiner and Vasquez in more of a job share, I'm all for that unless Yiner elevates, but Vasquez catching 80% of the games, I don't think is a winning play over the run of the season.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, it's obviously better for the team, the health, the organization, and the big picture if Yiner puts it together, but this just has not been his year, and the trajectory of his career does not give you confidence that he would turn it around this year. But, you know, here's hoping. Now, Houston heads to Arlington on the last leg of this roadie to face a very mediocre Rangers team who, you noted, dropped the series to the Angels. The matchups, Emi versus Rocker, Alexander versus Leiter, Burrow versus DeGrom, and Eric Geddy versus Eovaldi. What are you going to be looking for in this series, Charlie?
Well, the Rangers offense, as when it came to Houston, blows. Corey Seager was out with back spasms. Well, that turned out to be an injury. So injured list. He's not a factor. Wyatt Langford working his way back, but was having a hugely disappointing season when he went down. Rangers and Astros, somewhat analogous, very offensively challenged. The Rangers pitching overall has been better, but at least the Astros pitching has been somewhat on the come. And at the outset of this trip, you know, that the make or break stuff only applies if there's an extreme result, right? A 10 game road trip. If the Astros had gone 2-8, all right, at least get the coroner on standby. Well, they dropped 2 of 3 to the Twins, but sweep the Cubs. If they split the 4 with the Rangers, I'm not saying that would be wildly satisfying, but that's a 6-4 road trip for a team that on the road at the outset of this trip was 7-15. And that would be an indication of some real stabilization over a 3-week period. So the goal, of course, is to take the series. But I could be guaranteed a 2-2 trip, series rather in Arlington in the winning trip. I might book that. You don't want to give back the ground that you made up in Chicago by going and dropping 3 out of 4 to the Rangers. Not that that would be some appalling humiliation. It's a 4-game series. It's not like the Astros are head and shoulders above the Rangers all of a sudden, especially if Yordan's a little bit compromised going into the series. But you need to string together winning series or at least road split of a 4-game series over a 3-4-week period when you're still chasing 500 with ample ground to make up.
My eyes are going to be on Yordan, obviously, because he's such a critical piece. And, you know, prior to him being pulled on Saturday's game, he had cooled off quite a bit. Anybody can cool off given the God mode that he had played in for the first month of the season. But I hope I'm wrong, but whenever we've seen this in the past with Yordan, where he starts to look human, there always seems to be some sort of subsequent injury that's attached to it. He admitted I believe it was after the game on Saturday or before Sunday's game, that it had been something that he had felt before, I think while he was lifting. So I hope there's nothing more to it than just a little weird happenstance. I will say I was happy to see Joe Espada run out. First of all, address him before he took his at-bat and then go be brave enough to go get him during an at-bat. I think credit to Espada, you know, he takes a lot of bullets for decision-making, but I think you could see the seriousness in which he took this because he knows how valuable Yordan is with the team. He was not going to take any chances and let Yordan try to fight through something that would have just made it worse. You got any final thoughts for me before we jump out the door on this episode, Charlie?
I'll just follow with Yordan, even though it's only the DH role 85 to 90% of the time, that he hadn't had a day off, that he'd been in the lineup swing, because I think he's frankly at more risk in the batter's box or on the bases than he is standing out in left field. Big man, swings hard, powerful swing. You know, you see all these oblique injuries, they're from swings, not from catching fly balls. But when your offense has been so impotent in recent weeks, it's tough for a spotter to say, well, I'm going to give Yordan a day off and put in someone I know who's grossly inferior in the batter's box. But you need to play the long game at times, just as last season when they were struggling, blowing the 7-game lead. And Altuve's hardly ever getting days off. And in the last 40 games of the season, 35-year-old Altuve, poor. You know, can you directly say that Espada wore him out? No, but I don't think it's some crazy connecting of dots to make the suggestion. So Yordan needs a day off, or should be given a day off, even when fully healthy, every 3 weeks? Yeah, still playing 150, 154 games. He was on pace to play 162 until being forced out on Saturday.
Yes, Charlie, and you and I had a conversation after the show on one of these last couple episodes about Altuve's usage and whether or not that might have played into the injury that you're seeing. It's just Espada is clinching right now. And we had Christopher, who's in the comments, point out that him running and pulling Yordan is self-preservation. But also, you could look at it as keeping your best offensive weapon in the game. He could consider self-preservation too. So obviously, he is erring on the side of safety on this. One last reminder, if you're watching on YouTube, be sure to click like on the video. And if you listen on podcast apps like Apple or Spotify, give us a 5-star rating while you're here. For Charlie, I'm Brandon, saying so long. Thanks for listening. And as always, go Stros.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.